Welcome to the Shepherd Leadership Podcast, where we hope to encourage and equip leaders to help those entrusted to them thrive and to be a leader others follow for life. My name is Nick Westbrook, and I've had people entrusted in my care professionally for over 20 years in careers from ministry, coaching football, and business development to now owning and leading a Chick-fil-A franchise with over 140 team members. Leading my business at Chick-fil-A is the most challenging, difficult, and rewarding thing I've ever done. The challenges can feel overwhelming, but the call to lead and being given the responsibility to steward so many people's lives and experiences is an honor that I'm proud to shoulder. I've had more leadership failures than success, but from my greatest leadership failures, I've learned the true art of fulfilling my calling to lead. Thank you for joining our conversation where we will unpack the calling of leading as a shepherd and talk with other shepherd leaders about the impact they're making in their organizations. We post a new 30-minute episode on the first Friday of every month and sprinkle in some bonus content along the way. We hope to make this time valuable for you and to encourage you. This is the Shepherd Leadership Podcast. Well, Shepherd Leadership friends, I have got a great treat for y'all today. I've got a great friend of mine and my Chick-fil-A neighbor on the podcast with us today, my friend and fellow Chick-fil-A operator, Britt McDade. Britt, welcome to the Shepherd Leadership Podcast.
Thank you so much. So thankful to be here and excited about what you're doing and just honored to have the opportunity to sit in.
Awesome. Well, Britt, introduce yourself. You are no stranger to the people from Chick-fil-A on this podcast, but everyone else that joins in, let them know who you are. What was your life like before Chick-fil-A? How'd you get to Chick-fil-A, and what's been going on since you became an operator?
So I grew up in Fayetteville, Georgia, which is kind of the homeland of Chick-fil-A, and really had an opportunity to be influenced by the brand as a boy growing up. We would go eat at Shannon Mall and get the nuggets and the coleslaw and the waffle fries. And, you know, that was a big treat as we were growing up. And then as a junior in high school, started actually working at the Dwarf House in Fayetteville, Georgia, under the leadership of Doug Mickey and Alex Van, who was the manager. And worked there for a couple of years. Knew I wanted to pursue a degree in construction. But Alex, who was the manager there at the time, actually put his arm around me, sat me down in a booth and said, "Hey, you know, you've got a lot of room to grow, but you need to think about this Chick-fil-A thing long term." And that was when God really lit the pilot light for Chick-fil-A in my gut. You know, through those years, I got to serve the Cathy family several times. And I really just got to witness how that small business influenced that whole community. And it was family owned, and it really revolved around their corporate purpose. So I fell in love with the brand, fell in love with the corporate purpose, and really gained a massive respect for Truett and for his family. So I did walk away, and I looked over my shoulder for many, many years thinking, man, did I miss my opportunity with Chick-fil-A? I went and got a degree from Southern Tech in construction. I had the opportunity to start several businesses in the residential and commercial construction industry. And all the while, like, God was fanning this flame for Chick-fil-A through just what I like to call a series of divine appointments, through different relationships. And really, I was on an airplane one time sitting beside somebody, and the lady said, after talking for an hour or so, she said, "You just seem like a Chick-fil-A guy." And I was like, "Man, I hear you, Lord." And so it came to the point where I was thinking about actually starting another business. I had another partnership opportunity, and we had just bought a home and some land in Noonan, and we had the twins at the time, and my mom bought the home and the land across the street, and we really thought we were settling in, and that was kind of going to be our future. We had had some neat successes in the contracting industry, and God was really stirring our hearts, and Candace came to me and said, "Do you think it's time to reach back out to Chick-fil-A?" And I was like, "Man, it's not a very convenient time to reach back out to Chick-fil-A, but yeah, I think I'm hearing and feeling the same thing." So I actually reached out to who has become a great friend and top mentor for me, Mike Holmes, who's the operator of three Chick-fil-A's in Peachtree City, and went and met with him. And in short, Mike said, "Hey, You know, I've known of you. I've known even back to high school when you worked at the neighboring Chick-fil-A. I've known a lot of your friends, and I've seen you in the community. And what it boils down to is I think you'd be a great fit for Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A would be a great fit for you. I'll make a spot for you. And he had a leadership development program that he invited me into. And I tell you, that's just been one of the greatest blessings in my life, and any value that I've added to other people, including whatever we may discuss today. I tell you, Mike took what my dad and my uncles and some other mentors had taught me, and he really just put the icing on the cake. I mean, I'm still learning and I'm still growing, but what I got out of those almost 10 months with Mike was just priceless. And he taught me not only Chick-fil-A, he taught me leadership. He taught me how to be a husband, how to be a dad, and so many things that hopefully I'm doing decent at today. I learned from Mike, and I know you have a great respect for him also, and for what he's done, not only in this brand, but as a man. So after some time with Mike, my wife Candace was from South Georgia, and we really had a desire to get to South Georgia. And I didn't know how to do that and start a business and fulfill my passions and all that. And Chick-fil-A really brought that all together. Vidalia, I had some family in Vidalia. It was 1 hour from my in-laws. And when it hit the map and I was in this selection process, God just really worked out the rest. So again, from a junior in high school through a series of divine appointments all the way to Vidalia, Georgia, I've just been blessed to know this brand and be a part of this brand. And I'm so thankful that I get to partner with the Cathy family to do what I'm passionate about and to do what they're passionate about and to carry out this corporate purpose. And I'm so thankful for Alex and Doug and Mike and all those who have shepherded me along the way, and so that I can hopefully continue to add value down here through the brand of Chick-fil-A.
Man, what a cool story. And so we get to be neighbors. My restaurant in Hinesville is the South Georgia neighbor to Chick-fil-A Vidalia. And when I came into this brand, you were my first friend. You know, yeah. we became fast friends on a Dove field.
Right.
And you really helped me in my first several years, and even now, because you've been doing this longer than I have. And what I've noticed, you know, is you're the quintessential Truett in your community. This brand has grown and been exponentially successful across the country, but it's in small towns like Vidalia and Hinesville where there's, you know, this one location where we get the unique opportunity to really be Truett,
right,
in our communities. And that's you. And so you're kind of known as one of these leaders, kind of like I am. You got a lot of irons in the fire,
yeah,
right? And you've got a thriving marriage. How long have you and Candace been married?
Just over 16 years.
16 years. Yeah. So you got three young boys.
Right.
Two twins.
Right. Hamp and Levi.
Hamp and Levi. Just turned 13.
That's right.
Right. You own and operate a busy and growing Chick-fil-A business. You've won Symbolic Success several times.
Right.
Yeah, I know you coach youth sports. You're super involved at your church. You're on several boards in this community. Very active. So many times, leaders like us, you know, people with a servant's heart, you know, you get pulled in to do a lot of things. And so you got a lot of people that you shepherd and influence. How do you prioritize all those responsibilities you have as you shepherd all those people?
I think a lot about balance. And my personal mission statement basically goes like this. I know that I've been blessed beyond measure. I want to be found well with it, and I'll pursue excellence with balance in all areas of my life for His glory. And so that balance thing came into my world. My folks actually got divorced when I was in my early teens, and really started thinking a lot about, I was already a believer, and started thinking a lot about who I wanted to be as a man. And I really started focusing on different men that I wanted to follow after, wanted to be like, and that were kind of earthly examples of Christ. And came down to four areas where I thought I wanted to excel as a man. And, you know, I wanted to excel as a follower of Christ. I wanted to excel as a husband. I wanted to excel as a father. And I wanted to excel as a businessman. So as Chick-fil-A and the brand and maybe some gifts and talents God's given me have opened up all of these opportunities, kind of in the spirit of Matthew 25, like I wanted to steward all that really well, but I never wanted to lose sight of the balance. I didn't want to be a great businessman and lose my family. I didn't want to pursue Christ and serve him, but let that, you know, not line up with running an excellent business or with being with my kid. I've even known folks in the ministry who have spent so much time serving other people that they lost their kids and they lost their family. And so, you know, I got to witness and Lord, let me see all these examples, and just through prayer and through scripture and through these examples, just knew that I wanted to serve big and I wanted to use everything God had given me. I really wanted to maximize the stewardship of his gifts, but I wanted to keep it in balance. So thankful for my wife, thankful for my kids, thankful for my business, thankful for my church, and thankful for all those opportunities where I get to serve. And I really get to do that because of the team at Chick-fil-A, Vidalia. They have really freed me up by pursuing excellence themselves to be able to serve in a lot of different capacities. So
with all those different responsibilities, I mean, you got, I know you're leaving here going to a board meeting. You got several things that go on all the time. You got to be really intentional about that. So you continue to spend time with your boys and with Candace. Like, so what are some rhythms, disciplines, rhythms you've put in your life to make sure, you know, I make sure these big rocks get in here first so that nothing else gets in the way?
Well, that's certainly an area where you've helped me. Our friendship, like you mentioned, has been a tremendous blessing, and I would argue that you've helped me more than I've helped you, but that's why we work well together. And so I am a big vision guy. I'm a passionate guy, but I'm not always great with the systems and the processes and rhythms. But folks like yourself have really helped me think through that. Some of those rhythms, as we built a team and built some systems and processes and some rhythms at the restaurant, several years back, I started trying not to plan any meetings before I had time for my boys to get out of the house and then for me to get ready and get to the meeting. And I realized that time's flying by. Now, we didn't mention Grace and the 8-year-old earlier, and those twins have become 13 overnight. You know, we moved down here when they were 2. That's just flying by. And so I want to spend that morning with them. I try to sit right in the middle of the area where they get ready and drink a cup of coffee and just engage. And I think it was one of Dan's sons, either Andrew or Ross, who mentioned that, maybe it was Mark, that mentioned that Truett, every time they would walk by him, he would grab them, pull them in for a hug, maybe even into his lap and say, "Hey, I'm proud of you and I love you." And so
that was Mark. I think I've heard him say that.
Yeah, just the rhythm of telling my boys I'm proud of them and I love them is an everyday multiple times. But another rhythm that Candace and I have worked out is we try to do a date day on Wednesday mornings. Mm-hmm. And so after chapel at the school, then we meet and we may spend an hour together if that's all that's allowed, or we may spend the rest of the day together. And that's been great. We did that yesterday and we get to connect and at least have conversations about schedules and looking at each other and talking about all the things of life, you know?
Yeah, my wife Brooke wants to thank you for that because you mentioned that to me, and now we do that.
Oh, awesome.
And so we don't get the chance to do it every Wednesday, but at least probably twice a month. And so she's been really grateful. So she really appreciates that. you challenged me in that way.
And another thing, you know, you've helped me think through is just having somebody help me keep up with a calendar. And so we function on a calendar now, and my executive admin and my wife and my boys and my executive director all connected to this calendar. And if it's not on the calendar, I don't know to be there. But if it is, everybody knows I got to be there. You know,
that's good. Well, man, I've been super fortunate to be able to sit in and kind of watch and learn from you over the past 7 years and really how intentional you've been with your boys. You mentioned some of that, but I've been able to witness that, you know, firsthand. You know, we hear of a lot of leaders you mentioned that get so caught up and get pulled in that they end up neglecting those that God has entrusted to them and instructed them to care for, which are their kids and families. So, you know, that's not been your story. Your competitive drive as a leader is as much as anybody I've ever met. You're as competitive as anybody. We compete against each other a pretty good bit and have some fun with that. But you haven't allowed that to overcome, you know, your calling as a father. What specifically, you mentioned a little bit before, but what's fueled that intentionality to not let anything pull you away from investing in those boys?
I'm grateful for the things in my childhood that helped me realize, and the things in my early journey as a professional and a businessman that helped me realize what it's all about. I mentioned Matthew 25. I know that God's entrusted me with a certain set of things. And really, at the end of the day, like, all I want to hear is well done. I mess that up every single day.
Yeah, but Matthew 25 is the parable of the talents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I know that at the very top of that list, he has entrusted me with Candace and the boys, and that they're my first ministry. And I understand legacy, and I understand generational blessing and generational influence. And you can say it a bunch of different ways, but I can make all the money in the world, or I can influence all the people in the world. But if I lose my family in the process, then it was all for naught. So I'm grateful to have realized that. You know, one of my coaches and mentors who you know well, I tell him fairly regularly that my boys are benefiting from his mistakes and from what he learned through raising his kids and the mistakes he made, and that he was willing to share with me to help me not make the same mistakes that I was probably on a path to make. And so I'm so grateful for my eyes to be open to that. But, you know, what I realize is, and if I can pass not only God's word, but now we're doing a leadership quote of the week for the boys. And, you know, just if I can pass godliness and leadership and the biblical principles that we try to run our businesses by, and I can put my boys around men like you that I want them to be influenced by, and, you know, that continues for generations, then the dividends that that will pay will be exponential compared to anything I could put in a bank account. So just, you know, trying to express my gratitude for the blessings. You know, God knows the desires of our heart, and I wanted sons. Like, I prayed for sons, and I knew I would seek to be a great father to daughters. I didn't know what that would look like, having a brother growing up, but he's blessed me with these three sons. So my daily desire is just to steward that to the max. And they're so much fun to be around. As you know,
you've
been on
blast.
Some hunting trips with them, and you were with them when they shot their first duck, I believe. And,
yep.
And so those kinds of, I mean, it's just so much fun, and that's a reminder of the blessing that it is. So it's an easy love. Now, they are 13, and it's an exciting season, but, you know, they're starting to ask questions and think they're, you know, thankfully in church. And
Yeah. So I've seen you and all those different scenarios, and that's what's been so cool is you bring them into the fold with all these men in your life. We talked about it at breakfast this morning. Like, this is a really neat season to be able to bring them in around godly men as they're growing up and seeing these different examples. But what's so cool is I've watched you. You do this with everybody, but you definitely do it with your boys, is you'll kind of pull them close. You'll put that arm around them, and you're like, all right, boys, now listen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, watch this, listen, you see what happened right there. So the shepherd leadership framework is we want to strive to know, guide, protect, and provide for those entrusted to us so that they can thrive and we can be leaders that they follow for life. Like, that sounds like the role of a father.
Absolutely.
You do all four of those really well, but you are really great at guiding those entrusted to you, especially your boys, and providing them a vision and a path. Like, these are the principles you want to live, you know, your life by. I've seen you kind of put your arm around them. We're sitting at the dinner table at Longhorn, and you're teaching them how to order and sit up straight and be respectful and all the things, and really guiding them well. What are some of those principles, if you can share with us, about how you guide those boys really well? What are some of the ways, what do you look for to be able to guide your boys well?
I appreciate you saying that I'm doing that well. I certainly am seeking to, and I know I mess up often, but scripture and godly influences in my life have taught me those principles. I would say that my life verse is really Proverbs 3:1-12, but more commonly is kind of 5 and 6, like, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. So, like, I want them to trust the Lord and lean on his understanding first. But I realize that I am, like, the vessel that God put in place to teach them those things, you know. And so, again, having observed men do it really well and men do it really poorly, one thing that I really have admired other men doing is pulling them in and teaching them young and teaching them early and not saying, hey, that lesson is for later in life. That lesson I'll talk to you about once you're 21 or 18 or 13 or whatever. So I realized that those years are short, the days are long, but that every opportunity is a teachable moment. Every opportunity is a coachable moment, whether it's how to treat someone with respect that may have a different set of circumstances, whether it's how to compete on the field of play, whether it's how to invest financially, whether it's how to look a man in the eyes and shake his hands and introduce yourself, or any number of things, I think I'll be held accountable for how I teach them. And so I'm passionate that I do that and do that well.
And ultimately, I mean, I see in your heart, like it comes out of a desire. Man, you want those boys to thrive.
Yeah.
It's a unique position as a father, right? And that, you know, it's about the only person that really wants your boys to grow up to be better than you.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, absolutely.
We want our boys to grow up to be better than we are.
Absolutely.
And better men. And you're giving them that opportunity.
Yeah.
And so I see that desire to, man, you want your boys to thrive, even if they have to go through some hardship.
Well, it's literally everything your podcast is about. It's the shepherding role that we have the opportunity to do. And it's those things like, how do I know them each individually really well? Mm-hmm. How do I guide them each individually really well? How do I care for them? How do I provide for them? How do I introduce them to opportunities and to people that can help them thrive in the future? And it's the shepherd pursuit, maybe above all other shepherding opportunities. Yeah.
So there's one side of that that's really positive and feel good. Like it's this principles and guide, and boys come in here, look at this, like this is who you want to live like, this is what you want to do. But there's another part of that you're incredibly skilled at, and I've been the benefactor of, and it's kind of the way that you challenge people. You have instinctively challenged me, and you're one of those people that don't mind. You have the courage, which I think is one of the most rare traits in most leaders. You've got the courage to say what needs to be said in the way that it needs to be said, in a way that challenges people to be better and to thrive. It was a couple of years into my business that, as I was an operator, that I think you saw that I really needed some mentorship. And so we started to meet together pretty regularly. And, you know, we were doing some things well. And so everybody was telling us how great we are at all these things. And whatever metric they were looking at, it looked like things were really good from the outside. And then we started kind of looking at the actual business numbers together. And you saw that we were drastically underperforming financially. And, you know, you challenged me, like, really directly on it. And if I remember, I believe the line was something like this. Hey, I know everyone thinks you're great, but you told Dan Cathy that you would be a faithful steward of all that's entrusted to you. Do you really think you're doing that? And, you know, it was direct, but it was directly caring enough that said, hey, like, I know that you can do better. And really, in a way that confronted the brutal reality that, yeah, I needed to be paying more attention and getting better at the financial side, not just all of this fluff, right? That we were, you know, good at the time. So,
well,
it hurt. It was out, but it was exactly what I needed to hear. So, you know, digging deeper, it really helped me realize that I was being timid about fulfilling some of my roles as a leader. So, are you instinctively a challenger?
Well, before I answer that question, let me say you were great and you are great. And your team in Hinesville is and was doing so many things right. There might have been a touch of jealousy. I just wanted to burst your bubble a little bit. But anyway, it's always been a great part of our friendship to not only cut up and push each other with humor, but to also really be that iron that sharpens iron. And you've been that certainly for me. And so thankful to know I've had the opportunity to serve you in that way. But now, you know, one of my favorite leadership quotes is from Jim Collins. And he, you know, it said, great leaders bless people. They inspire and encourage. They help people become more than what they have been, maybe even more than what they thought they could be. Great leaders help people be a part of something bigger than themselves. In short, great leaders leave people better off than they were before the leader entered their lives. And so when somebody introduced me to that quote, it was right at the time I had been selected for a Chick-fil-A franchise opportunity. And, you know, I realized that the platform I was being given was going to give me even more opportunity to help people reach their full potential. So to answer your question, like, yes, my brother and a few others in my life were always focused on growing up. It was a lot of encouragement, a lot of, hey, you're doing great. Hey, that's it. Yep. You're winning in that area. But there was always my brother who is a pastor, and he was always there to say, hey, you're doing great, but you could reach a higher potential. You've got more in your tank. You know, you could do better. In a very respectful way, like, you're not maximizing your God-given potential. Mm-hmm. And so I think I have walked that out, and maybe it's become instinctual in my leadership journey.
More comfortable.
Yeah. And if you just speak the truth and you speak it in love, then good things happen. And I knew that you and I had a relationship deep enough to where I could speak the truth. And my wife says that it's not always what I say, but how I say it. So I think I could work on the delivery often, but I know that you gave me grace. And how I said that, I knew that you had more opportunity on your plate and more potential.
And it takes some relationship.
Yeah,
like, you can't just come say it to anybody. Well, so that's the important part of building.
You can say it to anybody, but it doesn't always have a great impact or a great effect.
It, you know,
when you say it, when you talk about results without relationship, then sometimes you can get in trouble, or it can be a dead end.
Yeah. So maybe the answer to this question is inside a couple of things you just said, but like, what those leaders that are listening right now, we got a lot of LDP.
Yeah.
Folks, people in the Chick-fil-A's leadership development program, restaurant leaders and managers, operators, people outside of Chick-fil-A that are just starting their leadership journey, you know, a lot of those type listeners on this show. So what does that leader need to know about challenging other people directly and providing that accountability that really surgically kind of gets to the root of the issue and kind of really pulls that out to help inspire and encourage them to be more of what God created them to be?
A common phrase we use around Chick-fil-A is they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so I think another thing we refer to a lot is the value of relationships and results. And so I think the skill set and how you deliver that is something that we can always develop. I think what allows you to be able to hold others accountable and speak maybe uncomfortable truths is, like, do you lead with love? Does that person know that you actually want what's best for them? And have you put any effort towards building the relationship before you talk about the result? You know,
yeah, you got to have some relational equity there before you go in. And
yeah. And to an LDP or a young operator or even somebody outside of Chick-fil-A, I think I would just encourage, like, speak the truth. Like, speak the truth and pad that with love before, afterwards, and during. But trust that truth, if you see something in someone's world that you can speak into and that you know your intentions are for good. You know, I think so many times when somebody's strong in certain areas, whether it's for personal gain or for manipulation or for political reasons or whatever, like, people just tell them all the good stuff.
Yep.
And I think what you and I have both realized is, like, we have to have iron that sharpens our iron.
That's right.
We have to have real accountability that we trust in our lives to make us walk towards the next step and the next season of pursuing excellence. And I need to have somebody that's willing to grind on me a little bit to make my iron sharper. And
right. So
I hope to be able to offer that same to others. And it's not always easy. And, you know, a lot of times it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I think intentions are key.
Yeah. There's so much in today's leadership conversation about appreciation and recognition. Mm-hmm. And those things are invaluably important, but they are not less important than challenge is.
Yeah.
And really, you know, find, if we're going to maximize our ability and really thrive and become all that God created us to be, that takes some challenge. I mean, I don't read scripture ever and I'm not directly challenged by the words written and read.
Absolutely.
And so, and I believe that the Good Shepherd was a great challenger, and he spoke truth in love really directly in a way that called out the hearts of people around him.
Yeah.
There's one story I really want to talk about here that I got to walk through with you in your life. You know, we talk about shepherding in this framework to know God, protect, and provide. And in so many ways, it's the actions that we take and the opportunities that we take and the intentionality that we have around it. In one way, more than any, you've taught me through this circumstance in your life that sometimes it's the opportunities that we don't take that can really shepherd our families really well. So a few years ago, you had, you know, the unique opportunity to be awarded another Chick-fil-A franchise opportunity that was at the time, it was the highest volume Chick-fil-A restaurant in the state of Georgia. You know, you had stewarded your business so well and had such a great reputation that Chick-fil-A kind of saw fit. I mean, it would double your talents, if you will. You know, that would have meant, you know, more income for you. It would have meant a possibility of a multi-unit opportunity in the future for the growth that was coming in that area. You know, in our business, those that have high volume restaurants, multiple restaurants, you know, we put them on this proverbial pedestal. Mm. So that would have elevated your status as an operator, even maybe in the brand. But it would have also meant moving your family away from this home in Vidalia, Toombs County, that you had built, moving your boys out of this school that you guys were invested in, leaving the community partnerships that you had invested in, leaving your church, which I know you're very heavily involved in.
Yeah.
You did something that I have not seen many people do, and you declined the opportunity to grow your income, to grow your status, kind of elevate yourself. You chose influence with your family and your current community over your income. It was one of the more inspiring things I've ever seen a leader do. And I know we did. We had a lot of prayer together through that time. What led you to make that decision to stay here in this community?
That brings up some emotions today. You know, so much, like you said, it really just, I mean, prayer and, you know, wrestling with God and the desires of my heart and the intentions of my pursuit and a lot of the things I was passionate about. Spent all of my life and my Chick-fil-A career hearing things like, man, you've got a big engine. You're a multi-unit guy. You're a high capacity leader. Don't stop. Let this small town Chick-fil-A opportunity be a stepping stone for you to go do, you know, bigger and better and more financially prosperous and more team members and all of that. And what's interesting through the interview process and just through life, Candace and I always described ourselves kind of as large market potential with a small town heart. You know, I grew up south of Atlanta and had lived in the city and gone to school and done business in a large city. And but we love so much about really the community of a small town and how that works. And so when we had the opportunity to come here, we did. We loved it. And we also kind of kept a category available of like, this is maybe this is a stepping stone kind of situation in our journey. And so we knew we had to maximize it. We knew we had to make it the very best we could. The team and I were selected as the rookie of the year in our first year of operation. And, you know, we just jumped in and acted like we were going to live here the rest of our life. And so that's how we built the business, and that's how we built the team. And knowing that this opportunity you're referring to was coming down the track, so we felt like we had done everything in our power to become competitive for this opportunity. And even believers in my life, like in so many people's perspective and opinion and thoughts, like it was the next right decision, you know. And we were just wrestling with, we did, we loved this community, we loved our church, we loved the boys' school, we loved our small group and just our team at Chick-fil-A and all of these things that God had set in place and that we had sought to steward really well. And man, I was getting advice from, I'm talking about all over the place, and it was literally split 50-50. You know, it was, hey, you're in your earning years, go make the money. You can always move back to a small town. It was, hey, you'll never get these years back with your boys. Stay put. You know, money's not everything, and everything in between. And so you and myself and several others, like, I'll never forget sitting on my porch, on my swing, on my back porch, crying like, God, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you seem to be opening this door. You seem to be giving this opportunity. Everything seems to be lining up, and it's an extreme opportunity in increasing my financial potential, my lifetime earnings, my investment opportunities, my ability to influence people, even sports opportunities for my boys, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in a bigger place. And of course, Candace and I spent lots of time talking about it, thinking about it, praying about it. And we finally settled one scripture like the week I had to make the final decision whether or not to turn in my application. And it's 1 Timothy 6:6. And it's simple. But godliness with contentment is great gain.
I remember you texting me that verse that morning.
I got chills right now.
Made your decision.
Just, yeah. And you know, man, God's been super faithful to confirm that decision. And we felt his peace immediately once we landed there. And you can play out a lot of different scenarios. And I probably will make a lot less money here than I would have there. But that balance that we talked about earlier, like, I am able to shepherd and steward this relationship with my boys in a whole different way because of the community we live in. I'm able to engage with my wife in a whole different way and do life together as a family. I also have just a phenomenal team at Chick-fil-A Vidalia, and we get to be the hub of the wheel where a lot of people trust us to come not only eat great food, but to find restoration in a lot of ways, you know, in our dining room, and just to hopefully be restored in kind of the calm in the storm. And, you know, we get to partner with so many of the schools and churches and organizations and the chamber, and I get to serve in so many different ways, like you mentioned, on different boards and whatnot. So it was a real challenge for my large capacity or big engine or desire to produce
and
make money, ego, like all of those things. And they're not all bad, right? God's given us the opportunity to lead businesses, and you got to make money to lead a business, and you can be more generous the more he allows you to steward. So, man, that brings back all kinds of good passion and emotions and process. I do thank you for helping me walk through that. That decision has been peacefully confirmed. And still, even when it kind of flares up, he'll gently remind me that where he led me. And that, you know, if you go on to read that scripture, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. And then it goes on to talk about, you know, money can be a great thing, but money can ruin. So Candace and I realized that the only reason we were really going to go was so that we could make more money. And we had so many blessings going on here that we were so thankful for. We're grateful that he walked us through that very difficult, you know, in the flesh, I would have probably made a different decision. But through his word, through wise counsel of friends, through prayer, through his spirit, he gave us wisdom, and I'm thankful.
I mean, it's remarkable as you talk about all of that. What it really boils down to is you made the decision based upon those that you were shepherding more than you made it upon yourself. And modeling that for your boys, for your team, and even for the community put you in a position. You know, we say that if you really shepherd those entrusted to you well, you can be a leader that people will follow for life. And some of those principles will follow them as long as they live, even if you are not with them for the whole period of their life. And so I know it's something that I'll remember forever as I steward my business and shepherd my family and my team, that more is not always the answer. We might need to, you know, protect those entrusted to us by some of the fields that we don't take them in. And I really learned that from you. Man, what a treat it's been to kind of hang out with you on the Absolutely. Microphones today. And man, I just want to thank you. Appreciate your friendship, how you have helped me along on this path and learned this business and this brand. And it's fun to get to hang out with you and your boys. I appreciate you giving me a place to hunt and fish every now and again and coming over this way. But Britt, thanks for what you do. Thanks for being a great shepherd leader. And guys, it's been a lot of fun hanging out with Britt McDade from Chick-fil-A Vidalia. You know, you can see and just in this conversation, you know, how important it is to guide those entrusted to us well and to have the courage to say what needs to be said, when it needs to be said, the way it needs to be said, and to really take opportunities to pull those that you shepherd, whether you have boys or daughters like I do, a team at a mall or a team of 150 people at a big Chick-fil-A franchise, to kind of put your arm around them and really guide them well with the principles that you've been given. So, Britt, thanks for doing that.
Hey, and thank you so much.
Appreciate the conversation.
You're a blessing. Thank you.